This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Troops at the ready. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Tuesday, January 25th, glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The Pentagon has told 8,500 soldiers to be ready to deploy to Europe as part of a NATO response to Russia's threat to Ukraine.
Three Baltimore firefighters have been killed while battling flames at a vacant three-story row house. A fourth is in critical condition.
President Biden has insulted another reporter for asking a question he didn't like. Hear what he called Peter Doocy of Fox News.
And why some parents need to prepare for a lower tax refund this year.
Even though you've been getting those payments through the many months, the lump sum that you're going to get at tax time is going to be a little bit lower than the lump sum that you would have gotten if the tax credit was, you know, just the same as it was. It used to be $2,000. Now, when you have half of this bigger one, it's a $1,500 or $1,800.
Andrew Keschner at MarketWatch on the role of the child tax credit payments from last year. The Pentagon has ordered up to 8,500 U.S. troops to be on standby for deployment to Eastern Europe, part of NATO's buildup in response to Russia's troops gathering on the Ukraine border. The U.S. and its allies are prepping for a military invasion of Ukraine, which Russia denies it's planning. President Biden held a video conference with European leaders yesterday regarding coordination. White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki.
We have been consulting with allies in deployments and refining plans for all scenarios. We've always said we would reinforce our allies on the eastern flank.
Meanwhile, most of the U.S. troops would join a NATO response force to be activated by the alliance, while others could be deployed for other operations, including evacuation efforts. The U.S. troops will not be authorized to enter Ukraine. Also, Homeland Security is warning that Russia could launch a cyber attack against the U.S. if it believes Washington's support of Ukraine threatens its long-term national security. What a wild swing on Wall Street. The three major stock market indexes staged a massive rally to finish up by a fraction. At one point yesterday, the Dow Industrials were down more than 1,100 points, or more than 3%. The NASDAQ had given up nearly 5%. The Wall Street Journal says behind the volatility was investor anxiety over the Federal Reserve and how quickly it will move to combat inflation and how that action will ripple through asset prices. The Fed is expected to reveal more clues during a meeting this week. Art Hogan is chief market strategist at the National Securities Corporation.
Don't play into these panic moments. We go through a 10% correction almost every year. It's been 2 years since we've seen one, but not every 10% correction turns into a bear market.
As the market tumbled, suddenly bargain-seeking investors stepped in, snapping up shares of tech favorites like the carmaker Tesla and the chip firm Nvidia. A little history was made as well. It's the first time the Dow closed positive after being down at least 1,000 points. Another gaffe for President Biden. He was caught on a hot mic calling Fox News White House correspondent Peter Doocy a stupid son of a you-know-what. Moments before that, Mr. Biden had been complaining about fielding questions on the crisis in Ukraine instead of being asked about the White House Competition Council meeting, which in part focused on efforts to drive down prices for consumers. So as others shouted questions while being ushered from the room, Mr. Doocy asked the president whether he thought inflation would be a political liability ahead of the midterm elections. Mr. Biden's reaction was caught on a hot mic.
That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of a...
Mr. Doocy said the president called him within an hour to apologize. Last week, Mr. Biden mocked a reporter for what he called a stupid question on why he was waiting on Russia's president to make the first move in Ukraine. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Tuesday. Attitudes on the Senate filibuster could be emerging as a key litmus test for lawmakers and candidates as the parliamentary procedure hinders Democrats from passing voting rights legislation. More from Julia Manchester, national politics reporter at The Hill. Julia, take us behind the scenes.
essentially behind the scenes, you're obviously seeing, well, not only behind the scenes, but really in the public sphere, you're seeing Manchin and Sinema, two moderate Democrats, being pressured to support abolishing or at least changing the filibuster. And you're also seeing a number of other Democrats, including Sinema's fellow Arizona Democratic Senator Mark Kelly, coming out in support of changing the filibuster rules. Now, of course, changing the filibuster failed earlier this week with Manchin and Sinema very much siding with Republicans. But I think there's now a question among Democratic circles as to whether this is sort of a litmus test for candidates or lawmakers going forward. You saw a number of liberal and Democratic groups release statements this week saying that they would not support candidates, i.e. Kyrsten Sinema or Joe Manchin, if they did not support making changes to procedures to allow legislation like voting rights to go through.
Is this enough of an issue in voters' minds for Senators Sinema and Manchin, for example, to change their opinion on this?
Well, that's a good question. I think a lot of Americans living outside of Washington, D.C. in particular, or even some Americans living in Washington, D.C., when they hear the term filibuster, their heads sort of explode. They, you know, it seems very foreign, very complicated, very wonky. However, I think you're seeing a lot of progressives and Democrats communicate this idea to voters by saying, look, because there is this procedure that is blocking legislation like voting rights, which Democrats say would expand the right to vote in the United States, because this procedure is blocking it and you have senators against getting rid of or at least changing this procedure, that makes it an issue hitting voters at home every day because their lives aren't being changed or being helped by this lack of a legislation.
We're speaking with Julia Manchester, national politics reporter at The Hill. Her story is called Filibuster Becomes New Litmus Test for Democrats. So what happens at this point? Do we anticipate more groups will jump on board like we saw with Emily's List or NARAL?
It's very possible, if filibuster continues to be an issue in the national political spotlight, I think you can definitely see a lot of groups prepare to jump on board. Those are individual liberal groups. I don't know if we will see party committees or the party itself jump on board. Remember, Manchin and Sinema are still Democrats, and 2024, when they're up for re-election, is still 2 years away. So it's a little too hard to tell, what other groups will be getting involved. But it seems like these individual liberal progressive groups are certainly becoming very vocal.
How do party leaders feel about it? Because it inevitably seems like you move to change the filibuster and then you lose power and then you get beat over the head with, something that you wanted to change when the other party gets control.
Right. Well, I think right now, if we were speaking in the context of 2022, Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, and President Biden, very much are trying, would like to get rid of this or at least change it, because Democrats are desperate right now to get a major legislative achievement after Build Back Better was stalled late last year. They need another legislative achievement to be able to run on this year, an achievement that is more recent in voters' minds. You've been hearing the Democrats really talk about the American Rescue Plan, for example, that passed last year. And we're seeing that, voters' memories are very short. So they want another achievement to run on. They want Biden to get another achievement in Congress. This is something he campaigned on, being able to broker deals on Capitol Hill. Well, he's seeing that that's a little harder this time around than it was when he was a senator.
Messaging seems to have changed, too, possibly anticipating that there's not going to be a filibuster rule change. You said Democrats now are hitting back at Republicans.
They are absolutely hitting back at Republicans. The Democratic National Committee sent out a memo, actually, to a number of state Democratic parties, very much echoing President Biden in his press conference on Wednesday, essentially saying that we need to focus on the American Rescue Plan as well as the passage of infrastructure as our legislative achievements, but hit Republicans for wanting to stop progress at any moment. So when the Biden administration gets criticism for not doing enough on the pandemic, not doing enough on the economy and so on and so forth, Democrats will say, well, it's because Republicans on Capitol Hill were blocking the legislation with tools like the filibuster.
Thanks, Julia. Julia Manchester, national politics reporter at The Hill. 19 minutes after the hour on this morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden spoke with European leaders as he mulls the option of deploying military personnel and equipment to the region amid the rapidly deteriorating security situation at Ukraine's border with Russia. The leaders discussed their concerns about Russia's military buildup on Ukraine's borders and expressed their support for Ukraine's sovereignty. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby.
The United States has taken steps to heighten the readiness of its forces at home and abroad, so that they are prepared to respond to a range of contingencies, including support to the NATO Response Force if it is activated.
Kirby says Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin has placed 8,500 U.S. personnel on heightened alert.
Number two.
Three Baltimore firefighters were killed and a fourth was injured when part of a vacant home collapsed while they were battling a blaze early yesterday morning. The firefighters were responding to a blaze at a row home when the four were trapped inside. Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott.
Lieutenant Bertram, firefighter paramedic Kelsey Sadler, and EMT firefighter Kenny Lakaya, who made the ultimate sacrifice for our city.
Crews removed piles of debris to locate the firefighters.
Number three.
The Supreme Court has agreed to review a challenge to the consideration of race in college admission decisions. With three new conservative justices on the court since its last review, the practice may be facing its greatest threat yet. The court says it will consider a pair of lawsuits alleging Harvard and the University of North Carolina discriminate against Asian American applicants. Federal health regulators say COVID antibody drugs from Regeneron and Eli Lilly should no longer be used because they don't work against Omicron. The FDA is revoking emergency authorization for both drugs, which were purchased by the federal government and have been administered to millions of people with COVID-19. If the drugs prove effective against future variants, the FDA said it could reauthorize their use. Supportive relationships with family and friends and healthy behavior, such as engaging in physical activity and better sleep, appeared to shield the mental health of adolescents ages 11 through 14 against the harmful effects of the pandemic. Researchers examined data from more than 3,000 adolescents from before and during the early months of the pandemic in 2020.
All right, thank you, Jen. The way you use the internet has changed dramatically over the last decade, but security tools for the most part have stayed the same. Between your photos, finances, devices, and connections, your world is more online than ever. Aura provides complete digital security all in one easy-to-use app. Aura protects you from the worst of the internet so you can still enjoy the best of it with digital security protection to keep your online finances, personal info, and tech safe from threats. It gives me peace of mind to know Aura protects me from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and so much more with one simple subscription. All plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds, and experienced U.S.-based customer support is ready to help. For a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get complete protection, huge savings, and a 30-day free trial. That's A-U-R-A, aura.com/Gordon. Aura, the new standard in digital security. Thanks for joining us. Last year, the enhanced Child Tax Credit gave millions of families some financial cushion through monthly payments. This year, the same tax credit might take away from the size of many income tax refunds or even give some unanticipated tax bills. More from Andrew Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch. Andy, what should we know?
Here's the deal. A lot of parents from July to December got their monthly child tax credit payments. Those were advance payments on a bigger on a tax credit that was bigger than usual. $3,000 for kids 6 to 17, and $3,600 for kids under that age. The way that lawmakers structured it is they chopped it in half. One half goes to the monthly payments. The other half goes to the lump sum that you get paid a tax time that gets, you know, goes, rolls into your refund. So here's where the twist is. Even though you've been getting those payments through the month, through those many months, the lump sum that you're going to get at tax time is going to be a little bit lower than the lump sum that you would have gotten if the tax credit was, you know, just the same as it was. It used to be $2,000. Now, when you have half of this bigger one, it's $1,500 or $1,800. So that's really kind of the core issue here.
Right, that could be a real shock because some people plan a lot of, I don't know, significant purchases or credit card payments with that tax refund that they normally get.
Exactly. I think there's even some behavioral economics theories, called mental accounting, where you attach different values to different bits of money depending on where it comes from. But yeah, the tax planners that I talk to, they say, yeah, that people really want to know that number. They plan around that number. People hate surprises when it comes to taxes. I totally see that. And even if they're kind of managing that expectation, and even if people understand it in their brain, it might still hit them differently when they see that number come tax time.
We're speaking with Andrew Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch. He's written a story entitled Why Some Parents Should Brace Themselves for a Lower Tax Refund in 2022. And that's because of the child tax credit payments that were given in the second half of 2021. You know, it's interesting, too, not to tie this into politics necessarily, but I mean, this could be another hit for President Biden, right? I mean, if folks are taking home a smaller refund, they can immediately point to President Biden and say, yeah, wow, the Biden administration, you know, meant I paid higher taxes or got a lower refund.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely, people get really emotional about taxes. They get really, they care deeply about that refund. I mean, as you pointed out, people do really important things in their lives with their refund. And if they see it being smaller, they're going to want someone to blame.
Yeah.
Politically, it remains to be seen what happens here. I know the president himself was talking about trying to get bits and pieces of his Build Back Better agenda through this upcoming year. He had wanted an extension of this child tax credit another year, but to be continued on that.
Thanks, Andy. Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
No fear, just facts. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Hey, thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday, January 25. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. U.S. puts troops on alert regarding Ukraine. Stock market snapped back after a huge dive. Three Baltimore firefighters killed battling flames at a vacant home. A judge has struck down New York State's indoor mask mandate. Biden insults another reporter. Prosecutors can form a grand jury to investigate Trump's efforts to overturn election results in Georgia. North Korea has test-fired two more cruise missiles. We learn baseball's latest Hall of Fame class today. And living it up after Omicron. That story in about 20 minutes. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. Looking for quality candidates this new year? Look no further than Indeed. Their new video interview tool takes the hassle out of virtual hiring. Visit Indeed.com/credit. The U.S. food system is under renewed strain as COVID-19's Omicron variant stretches workforces from processing plants to grocery stores, leaving gaps on supermarket shelves. It's a story by Jesse Newman, agriculture reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Jesse, what are we seeing?
Yeah, well, what we're seeing is that across the country, you really are seeing gaps or holes in store shelves. It's not always the same products in the same places, but things are just in short supply, across the country. And, that is the roots of that are interesting because it's changed from what it was 2 years ago when we first, sort of famously all recall the big surge in grocery buying that really emptied out store shelves. So it's sort of a similar situation now, but different root cause.
And it's you identified pretty much every region in the country where this is a problem, right?
That's right. Yeah, you are seeing this at stores nationwide. Again, it sort of really varies depending on where you are. But in stock levels are down from where they were pre-pandemic, but even where they were, you know, at some point earlier last year. And in certain states, Alaska, West Virginia, but you know others as well, those in stock rates that you know across the country were hit 86% in mid-January. I mean, that was certainly lower in a lot of states. So, you know, just throughout the country, really bare spots on store shelves.
And what are supermarkets saying on their behalf at this point?
Well, they're really saying that, you know, a lot of them are dealing with labor challenges and supply issues, and that they do expect this, expect these supply challenges to last for weeks or months. And, you know, this is really an outgrowth of both chronic labor shortages that we're seeing across the country, across, you know, the economy, and then also Omicron and the wave of illnesses that sort of hit the U.S. most recently.
We're speaking with Jesse Newman, agriculture reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called U.S. Food Supply is Under Pressure from Plants to Store Shelves. You referenced, too, veggie suppliers in California. Same issues for them?
Yeah, you know, interestingly, the labor situation on their front doesn't seem to be on farms, so they're okay right now for farm labor. But where things are really breaking down is at sort of distribution points, sort of in processing facilities, and then also in distribution facilities. So in the first 2 weeks of January, this one California produce supplier that we spoke to said, you know, some 10% of his employees at this big vegetable processing plant were out on any given day. And that was both at the plant and also at the distribution facility. So, you know, the leafy greens, the lettuce, the spinach, it's coming in. But then they didn't have, you know, enough people to process and get it shipped out.
Wow. Generally speaking, what are the items that are lowest in stock, say, at a particular grocery store?
Yeah. So some of the things that we called out in the story were sports drinks, energy drinks, frozen cookies, and refrigerated dough. These are things that were especially low. So, you know, again, it's just not to spread panic. These are not staples. You know, we're not talking about, you know, we're not talking about bread and butter, although bread and butter certainly are more expensive than they have been in a while. So, you know, these are, and you know, supermarket executives went to pains to say, like, look, people are going to be able to find the food that they want. They just might have to choose a different brand. So it isn't that, you know, we're running low on staples. It's some of these more specialized items, you know, that are seeing the biggest declines. That said, I mean, you do have, you know, meat and protein. Those are on the list of things that are, you know, lower as well. And, you know, we do have stores reporting that, you know, they're out of particular proteins, they're out of particular meats, or, you know, it's not coming in until later in the day. So just depending on where you are and what is going on at your store, you know, there may be more key products that you're not able to find.
Well, how about you referenced that company, Korth Transfer. I think they're based in Wisconsin. They just can't find enough drivers to transport this stuff, right?
Yeah, and that's a huge part of it. And I think the thing that I would emphasize, you know, again, it isn't really what we're not hearing that there isn't food available. So there's enough food, but what there aren't enough of is, you know, necessarily people to move the food from point A to point B to get it to people. So this trucking company that we spoke to, Korth Transfer, you know, the president of that company was saying, look, last year, you know, he's got about 100 truckers. And he said, last year, I ended up behind the wheel of my own trucks for about 20 days, you know, just because they lacked the people to take it.
Thanks, Jesse. Jesse Newman, agriculture reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Uncomfortable work attire is a thing of the past. If you're still trapped in suits and ties, make it your New Year's resolution to go casual at work. But don't dress down. Get some casual style that fits anywhere. That's what Cuts Clothing is designed for, to fit you and any occasion perfectly. That's how I feel about my t-shirts from Cuts. They look and feel great, buttery soft. They move with me whenever I'm at the mic or at the gym. And while I could go on about their custom-engineered Pika Tri-Blend fabric, you really have to wear it to understand how soft it is. It's the ultimate blend of high-quality cotton, polyester, and spandex. The result is what GQ magazine calls the only shirt worth wearing. And now it's worth even more because it's an even better value. Cuts Clothing is work leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com cuts.com/Gordon. That's C-U-T-S, cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. cutsclothing.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, you might remember yesterday we told you about the woman who found out she won millions in the lottery after checking her spam email filter. Now we have the story of another new millionaire who got lucky after eating Chinese food. North Carolina lottery officials announced that a 60-year-old disabled combat veteran named Gabriel Fierro decided on a whim to play the lucky numbers from a fortune cookie he got from a Chinese food restaurant in Charlotte. He bought a Mega Millions ticket and spent an extra dollar to upgrade to the Mega Plier ticket, which would multiply his win. Fierro learned the next morning that he matched all five of the white balls and received the 4x Mega Plier, resulting in a $4 million win. Good for a lot of future Chinese food dinners. I mean, you see those lucky numbers on the fortune cookies all the time.
Yeah. Lucky for what? That's what I was saying.
Well,
lucky for what?
And I'm sure there are lots of people who have tried to play those in the lottery. And most of us just sort of scoff at that situation. But I guess somebody won.
Wow. Who else would you want to win other than a disabled combat vet?
Yeah, sure.
Right. What a win. $4 million?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, says he's going to, I guess they bought some champagne on the way home, and he's going to invest the, I think it's $2.8 million that they took home from this. So not too bad.
Nice. Well done.
And if the Manning brothers decide to return for another season of the Manning cast during Monday Night Football next year, they may get a few emphatic no responses when they ask guests to come on the show. That's because the broadcast was officially undefeated when it comes to jinxing current players who made an appearance. According to Sports Illustrated, every NFL player who talked to Peyton and Eli on Monday, seven players in all wound up losing their next game. And for Aaron Rodgers, it actually happened twice. Rodgers was on the show in Week 17, and his Packers lost the regular season finale in Week 18. Now, you could chalk that up to Rodgers resting and not playing in that game, but then the curse stalked Rodgers through the team's bye week and into their divisional round game, where the Packers were upset by the 49ers, leaving the curse undefeated even into the playoffs.
Ooh, the mystery deepens.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of retired players, NFL officials, celebrities, movie stars, that kind of thing.
I don't think
the current players, they were already avoiding the Manning cast toward the end of the season.
Yes,
Rodgers was actually kind of a big deal that he came on, and he was kind of flouting convention there because people were already staying away because of the curse. It already had that reputation.
What we need now is to see if players who, say, have lost the first two or three games of next year's regular season will go on to try to reverse the curse.
Oh.
So then, the Manning cast could say, people who come on the show, stop the jinx.
Yeah, see, I can see Eli and Peyton even kind of promoting that. Like, they're pretty smart that way. I think they can sort of pick up on that and say, hey, why don't you come on over and we'll break the jinx for you.
Right. That is funny. Well, maybe not so funny, the NFL players. Thanks for spending time with us. Don't forget to check out a podcast of the program. You can find it on our website, thismorningwithgordondeal.com, or on all the popular podcast platforms. Did you start Dry January? After having a few too many cocktails during the holidays, Dry January is the annual no alcohol challenge. USA Today has tips on how to keep a good habit going. Number one, make a pros and cons list. Think about why you want to cut back and why you don't enjoy drinking. If you enjoy it because you feel less stressed, you can try to figure other ways you can reduce stress in your life, like by exercising or meditating. Number two, people who want to limit how much they drink should have a plan for social situations where ordering a cocktail or a beer might be the norm. For example, are you going to get a non-alcoholic drink just to hold something in your hand? If so, practice your responses if people ask why you're not drinking. Number three, don't expect results right away. It might take a month or so to see significant effects after you change how much or how often you drink. And even chipping away at your habit can be helpful. Instead of three drinks a night, how about two? Instead of drinking every day, how about every other day? 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
NATO allies are bolstering their response to Russia's military buildup around Ukraine as the European Union set out plans for loans and grants for Kiev, and the Pentagon ordered thousands of troops to prepare for possible deployment. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says a Russian invasion of Ukraine would be a mistake.
It will take us back to a time of division, conflict, and worse, that so many of us labored for many years to move beyond.
President Biden talked with European leaders yesterday to coordinate a response to the Russian troop buildup.
Number two.
President Biden called Fox News White House reporter Peter Doocy a stupid SOB on a live microphone yesterday after Doocy asked Biden whether inflation was a political liability for him. Thinking his microphone was turned off, Biden responded sarcastically, "No, that's a great asset, more inflation." He added, "What a stupid SOB." Doocy says Biden later called to apologize.
Number three.
A judge in Georgia has approved the creation of a special grand jury to assist in collecting testimony as part of a criminal investigation into efforts by former President Trump to alter the outcome of that state's 2020 election. The approval came at the request of the Atlanta District Attorney, who last week said a significant number of witnesses were refusing to cooperate with her probe of Trump unless they were subject to a grand jury subpoena. Italy is facing political deadlock after lawmakers failed to reach an agreement on who should become the country's next president. More than 1,000 politicians cast their vote yesterday on who should become the new president, but the ballot did not achieve the two-thirds majority needed to confirm a new leader. The president's role is largely ceremonial, but at stake is Italy's political and economic future. Has the stress of the past couple of years made you just want to scream to your heart's content? A group of mothers in Massachusetts is doing just that. Their first Scream session held last March saw about a dozen moms show up on a dark, freezing night in Boston to scream together. The second Scream session, which took place earlier this month, saw nearly double the number of moms gather. Participants say they're simply depleted by trying to work, take care of kids, and dealing with the anxieties of the pandemic.
911, right. We're getting calls. Some people are screaming
now
in the streets.
They're out in the middle of a field. Nobody can hear.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jen. If saving money is one of your top goals for 2022, then stop paying insane amounts of money every month for wireless. Switch to Mint Mobile. It's the easiest way to save this year. Since Mint Mobile is the first company to sell premium wireless service online only, they let you maximize your savings with plans starting at just $15 a month. At Mint Mobile, all plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all of your existing contacts. Choose the amount of monthly data that's right for you and stop paying for data you never use. They've eliminated the traditional costs of retail and you get the savings. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, visit mintmobile.com/Gordon. That's mintmobile.com/Gordon. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Gordon.
Thanks for being with us. One COVID isolation period later, the Wall Street Journal says many of those who recovered are confident they have emerged with greater protection and now have a newfound desire to live it up. Vanessa Marquette tested positive over the holidays, meaning the 32-year-old and her husband missed a family reunion in Florida. But the isolation period ended just in time for the couple, both fully vaccinated and boosted, to catch the fireworks at Disney World on New Year's Eve. That post-COVID feeling of security is not unfounded. Doctors say those who safely recover are better positioned to fight new infections. For Alyssa Horowitz, a marketing account executive in New York City who said she's fully vaccinated and boosted, that joy is going to the movies. After suffering a mild case of Omicron over the holiday season, she finally feels safe with her plans to see Spider-Man No Way Home. She says the popcorn is better, the soda is better, everything is better. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.